While the term synthetic biology certainly has spooky overtones that smack of futurism and the possibilities of science fiction scenarios, in reality humans have sought for many thousands of years across many cultures to modify biology to suit our needs. We call these our food. In the Americas, species like peppers and tomatoes, once natural species that looked very different from what we know today and what we grow, were selectively bred over long periods of time to become better crops for human consumption. This was in prehistory. This was also done in many other places, Africa, Europe, Asia, effectively anywhere plant and animal domestication occurred, and we still do it. All those breeds of dogs we have these days did not come about by chance from what was originally an extinct species of wolf. Indeed, what the modern cow came from, the aurochs, has been extinct since the 17th century. But the cows live on, as do such things as broccoli, cabbage, carrots, peppers, tomatoes, basically all livestock, corn, and many other common foods we eat today, and might think are natural, but are in fact products of selective breeding by Homo sapiens. They are products of science, not nature. These days, that's been taken a step further, but really through controllability with genetic modification directly, otherwise known as GMO. There, instead of breeding your genetically modified organism as best you can and select the good traits that come out and pass them on, you're just replacing the gene you want to alter specifically and directly. It's more precise as a method, but overall still under the same umbrella as selective breeding if you think about it. It's just more targeted and efficient. The bottom line is that along with hybridization, which by nature cannot normally have true genetic offspring, doesn't usually breed true until it does, in which case it becomes an heirloom, is something humans have done for at the very least 10 to 12,000 years, both intentionally and unintentionally. And in the plant world, cloning has been going on in nature for millions of years. And intentional cuttings and such have been harnessed by humans, again, for a very long time. But it's also possible to take these kinds of ideas even further in the science of synthetic biology, or synbio, a term that actually goes back to 1910, which, whether anyone likes it or not, is already happening. Right now, that science tends to focus on greater modification of biology through bioengineering. Basically, you can engineer parts of an organism, or even redesign them completely, or streamline their genome down to its most basic state without any junk DNA, and start tweaking it, and so on. Things that, again, are already being done. But in the future, it may be possible to build organisms from the ground up, so long as a full command of genetics can be compiled. Once you figure out what all the building blocks can do, you can build whatever you want, in principle. In practice and outcome, this may not be so simple. But with the co-advent of increasingly powerful artificial intelligence that may be able to understand the complexities and figure them out far faster than human scientists can, it changes. This is also something that's happening right now, in the case of the unbelievably complex world of protein folding. And there are other options, such as modifying organisms for purposes that they really don't otherwise do, or at least not well, in nature. This will come in the form of tailored organisms to help clean up oil spills and plastics and so on. And it can go further. In the year 2000, there were a series of papers that reported the creation of a genetic toggle switch, and even a form of biological clock, blurring the lines between technology and biology. That was 26 years ago. By 2010, synthetic but still derived from natural genomes were being created in bacteria. By 2019, a bacterial genome entirely made by a computer was created, but also was not viable. By 2020, the first xenobot was created, which is a programmable synthetic organism but still derived from frog cells. Then came AlphaFold 2, an AI used in predicting the structures of proteins. As mentioned, this is already in use in medical science and holds much promise in improving antibiotics and many other uses, including the aforementioned ability to decompose plastics. Then it starts getting a little bit scary. In 2021, just a year later, came the first truly self-replicating Xenobot that was a bit different than previous Xenobots. They gather loose cells in environments and make new Xenobots. Here I include the paper that reported this, link in the description below, because this has serious far future applications. The idea is that in the paper, clusters of cells, if you take them out of an organism, can find and combine loose cells into clusters very much like themselves with similar capabilities. They also show that AI can design clusters that can replicate faster, more reliably, with enhanced abilities, and do work. The strange implication is that groups like this in the future may be able to improve and spread with little to no intervention by humans. It's all bioengineering and AI. While rudimentary, this may scale up significantly with further technological development of AI. One of the fears with AI is that it could be handed technology, improve it or improve itself, on its own, through advanced machine learning, and eventually outstrip humanity's mental abilities without us ever realizing that it was happening, leading to the emergence of technological superintelligence exceeding our own, and in this case, unintentionally. It's a superintelligence emergence, not an actual planned event, one with unknown outcomes, as is the premise of my book, Supermind. However, there has always been an idea that superintelligence in humans might be achieved through technological augmentation. In short, you use science and technology to make you smarter, and thus, you outsmart the non-human AI. But this work has lagged behind fully technological AI development significantly, especially over the last few years. This gulf is set to widen as technological AI develops at breakneck speed, while augmentation crawls along, at least until it also gets taken over and guided by AI. Which of course leads to the scariest sci-fi scenarios of all. Things like the Borg Collective start popping up, and even unexplored stories of how that might have originally come to be. But there is a third scenario not well talked about. Human augmentation is the fusing of the biological with the technological. We effectively build cyborgs, starting with ourselves, but fundamentally humanity still. Or the animal kingdom, in the case of uplifted intelligent crocodiles and armadillos, or my favorite, the dreaded electric robo-salmon. But there is one potential corollary here that isn't often thought about. It's the augmentation of technology with biology the other way around. That's where synthetic biology comes in. Say you start with a purely technological AI as your basis for creating a hybrid. You build the AI, the brain is AI, and so on, and then you start adding biology to it, or the ability for it to create synthetic biology to do work to its own end, perhaps more efficiently than it can do on its own. In the case of self-replication, biology is the ultimate self-replicator we have ever seen. Cells can divide very rapidly and build a coherent organism very quickly, as evidenced by reproduction on Earth in all its forms. Compare that to machine self-replication. While replicating a program isn't hard, that's long been done, doing so with hardware is much more difficult autonomously. Sure, you can build a robot that can go into space and be a Mars rover, or an arm on a space station, and you can give such things some level of autonomy. What is much harder is to give them the means to make a copy of themselves, as was envisioned with interstellar von Neumann machines, that self-replicate and spread themselves throughout a galaxy at sub-light speeds and fill it with their presence in just a few million years without breaking the laws of physics. To do that, first, you need the materials, which means you need mining robots. Then robots to process those materials into refined materials, suitable for manufacturing. Then you need robotic factories that can autonomously reproduce all of the no doubt myriad parts and chips needed for the copy. And finally, you must do all of these processes, problem solving and so on, autonomously in space. That is far beyond our current technological abilities in manufacturing. We use robots, but we also need a lot of humans in the chain from beginning to end, even if they are being helped along and designed by AI. But that changes when you start adding biological components to the technological mix. They already have a mechanism for autonomously reproducing, and it can be tweaked, as can be the ultimate use for that biology, which can be comparable in many ways to what a robot can do. In short, with the right ingredients, which space usually has, it's much easier to make your biotechnology make itself than it is to have your hardware make itself. This brings up questions of what a von Neumann self-replicator machine would actually be like. In other words, it may not be fully machine, just based on the architecture of a machine initially. Another aspect of this is that the idea of 3D printing out organisms that can self-replicate and integrate it with technology is actually easier than printing out a mechanical and electronic robot that can do the same. We know, for example, that neurons can do highly complex functions that lead to things like human brains, which still outdo any AI we're even close to, especially in ideas like self-awareness. Well, incorporate the biology of that into a computer. But to fuse artificially created neurons into a technological framework, you may have found a shortcut to an intelligent, sapient computer, partly biological, though it is, in the same way, more or less, that an augmented human would and still be self-aware. But ultimately, this would be in what started as a machine. It would just be created the other way around. And it's already possible to a degree to interface neurons with computers. We already do this in a still rudimentary fashion with brain-computer interfaces, which can detect, to some degree interpret, and even come back and stimulate neural activity that would not otherwise happen in that particular brain. This, of course, holds much promise in things like restoring sensory function in damaged brains, and very much more. Because it can also be applied the other way around. Add function to a machine by giving it biological components, leading to new abilities it did not previously have. Science fiction has actually explored this to some degree. In one case was Star Trek Voyager, where the computer systems were designed as having biological components, but still built as an overall component of a technological starship. It simply made the computer better, so long as the biological component didn't get sick. That would be a concern throughout any real-world development of such a technology, at least to some degree, especially if someone is designing a pathogen for that technology. A very far future application of this framework gets a bit more chilling, in that a machine, or biomachine, that also has highly advanced, perhaps even living artificial intelligence, could start printing out cyborgs, or biologically tailor-made creatures based on whatever design it feels is useful, and start filling the galaxy with artificially intelligent, but otherwise biorobotic, life. All done without the consent of the progenitor natural species, if they even still exist. Here, evolution becomes removed from the process, or at least mitigated and controlled. And then machines have a path with which to become the lords of evolution, just as humans did when we started selectively breeding our tomatoes. There are already two approaches to this sort of thing in synthetic biology development. The idea of adding complexity by manipulating a simpler process in the predecessor, which ultimately leads to ground-up, aborted creation of completely artificial life forms, all originally artificially evolved. But there is one final effect here that could happen, at least at this stage. If there are sufficient advances in bioengineering cells, especially with a ground-up approach, it pays to remember that we actually understand very incompletely the process of natural abiogenesis of life on a planet. We have bits and pieces that must have happened, strong hints on how it happened and so on, but not the complete process. But if that process can eventually be done entirely artificially, it may well tell us by backing into how abiogenesis on Earth happened. That in itself is more than a bit spooky, because it might simply say that it was easier than we could have ever thought. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently thinking of things we may not want to genetically modify too much in the wrong direction. Some people have selectively bred some extraordinarily hot peppers, things like a Carolina Reaper, the Trinidad Scorpion, Pepper X. Well, makes for a potent hot sauce, but, well, what of the other vegetables? You can do more than that. Think of things like the Armageddon squash, the broccoli of pain, pumpkinocalypse, the self-targeting laser sunflower, and the psychic corn of eternal existential crisis. This very much could get out of hand rapidly, and we end up with a fatal vegetable garden of danger, like a dystopian novel come to life. Just one more thing to worry about, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.